The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, the Justice Department simply has turned a blind eye to Hunter Biden. They were told to stand down. That's what our FBI whistleblower told us when we learned of the discovery of the 1023 form that alleged Joe Biden took a bribery from the most trusted, highest paid FBI informant. They were told to stand down when we brought in the general counsel for the National Archives when they were trying to write a story on their website about Joe Biden mishandling classified documents. They were told by the Department of Justice to stand down. And now what we've heard today with the IRS whistleblower, when they were looking at the obvious tax violations by the Biden family, they were told to stand down. So this is a pattern that the Department of Justice has interfered and given preferential treatment to the Biden criminal activities.
And so the cover-up continues. Covering up for the crimes of the Biden family, Hunter, his father, his uncle, all of them. The DOJ, as Jim Comer there is explaining, giving this preferential treatment to Joe Bama. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We're coming to you live today from Roanoke, Virginia. We had a great show last night, Celtic Throne. It's a fairly modest hotel room, so not a fancy background for you today, but a live program, nonetheless. You can get to the live stream of this show at our website, trumpetdaily.com, and also at our Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for the Trumpet Daily. Well, let me first say a few things about the show. Nearly 700 people at a beautiful theater, forgot the name of it, but we've got a segment that we had for yesterday's show we didn't have time for. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the traveling performance, Celtic Throne. And then we've also got the feedback from last night's show. Again, tremendous, tremendous feedback. If we have time, we'll get to that on today's show. It might also be good to save that for Monday ahead of the next performance. That's in Raleigh, North Carolina. They'll be performing there on Monday evening at 7:30. So just go to CelticThrone.com if you'd like to attend that Raleigh performance. There's a chance that one, because it's a pretty small theater, but there's a chance that one could sell out. So that's Raleigh on Monday. In between all of this, we've got the Raleigh personal appearance campaign on Sunday afternoon. That's for Trumpet subscribers. So make sure that if you haven't yet subscribed to the Trumpet magazine, you do so today. Just call the 800 number and request a free one-year subscription. And then if there's a pack coming somewhere near you, you'll get a personal invitation to attend a public appearance campaign conducted either by my father or yours truly. I'll be speaking in Raleigh Sunday afternoon to Trumpet subscribers. So if you look at the cover-up of all of these crimes, you really do have to wonder if all of these crazy stories that are out there are meant to misdirect your attention to something else, some other shiny object besides what the Biden crime family is getting away with, what they're getting away with. Every day there's new bombshell revelations, and Joe Scarborough and company just ignore it. They concentrate on the submarine that exploded underwater. I mean, the world was fixated on that for days. And we learned earlier this week that the Navy knew about it. They knew that the submarine blew up on Sunday, I think it was. And yet the story just continued. We got a minute by minute blow of how much oxygen was left in the vessel. And then we come to find out later it exploded early on in its mission. Then you have Obama, the dear leader, he's making the rounds. We've got some clips of him that we'll play for you a little bit later. He's making the rounds. He's a perfect distraction away from the Biden crime family until he's prepared to throw them under the bus. He's out there as the most popular Democrat. He's running the show. It's his third term, so he's got to make sure that he's out there repairing some of this damage. But you think about Hunter Biden for a minute. I saw this clip this morning of, I guess they had the White House state dinner for Prime Minister Modi of India. That was last night. And there's this C-SPAN shot. There's not much audio in this footage. But just look at this footage as Hunter Biden, he's going into this state dinner at the White House, and he's like the toast of the town. This is clip 13.
Distinguished guests, please make your way to your seats. Dinner will begin shortly. Thank you. Distinguished guests, please make your way to your seats. The dinner will begin shortly. Thank you.
I mean, this just perfectly typifies everything that's wrong with this world. Here's a nice looking guy. He puts on a tux. Everybody looks smooth and polished. He's hugging and kissing the meal that they're about to partake of. It's the finest that you could prepare. He's like a celebrity. And then you look into this 600-page research document that chronicles all of his disgusting crimes, his felonies. As I say, I mean, it typifies what's wrong with this world, with the United States. I mean, this is straight out of Ezekiel 8, the abominations. God says to the prophet, come over here and look inside and see what they're doing in the dark. But when they come out into the open, I mean, they look so polished. They look like statesmen. They're world leaders. They're the toast of the town. This is from the LA Times. I was going to go through this the other day, but I just thought, you know what? The content, it's just kind of disgusting. But given what we saw last night at that state dinner, it says here, Damon Lawner, the founder of Sanctum, I guess is how you pronounce that, has been banned from the high-end sex club after he publicly identified Hunter Biden as a former member. It says the claim about President Biden's son was included in a Times profile of Lawner published Tuesday. So this is from this week. Amid all these other revelations, the IRS whistleblowers coming forward saying, yeah, the DOJ gave him preferential treatment, Hunter Biden and the family. It says Lawner, 52, created Sanctum in 2013 after watching a movie, Eyes Wide Shut, which features scenes in which wealthy elites gather at a secretive orgy with a carefully curated guest list and membership fees of up to $75,000 a year. It became the free love private playground of Hollywood actors, rock stars, chief executives, city officials, and run-of-the-mill millionaires. So this is like Jeffrey Epstein all over again. There's not just one incident, the island or Epstein's plane. This is all over the world, this kind of thing. And Hunter was a member, evidently, according to this witness. It says here, the story also noted that after Hunter reached a plea deal with federal prosecutors on Tuesday, Lawner said in an Instagram story that the president's son had once been a Sanctum member. Hunter was a member at Sanctum, and I canceled his membership after one party because he's a scumbag. That's what this guy says. Evidently, Hunter didn't even rise to the level of the clientele that they wanted at this perverted party. It's unbelievable. But don't worry, because Hunter, he can wear a tuxedo. He can clean up pretty nicely. He looks the part, doesn't he? This is Ezekiel 8, verse 6. It says, I read this to you when we went through the Epstein content a few weeks back, but it's worth repeating here. It says, he said furthermore to me, son of man, see you what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn you yet again, and you will see greater abominations. Even God says to his servant, you know, you might want to take a second look here, because this is where we're at. This is the filth that passes for leadership in Manasseh today, in Ephraim, in all the Israelite nations. Verse 12 says, then said he unto me, son of man, have you seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. It says, for they say, the Eternal sees us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. I mean, nobody sees what we're doing. In the case of Hunter, everybody actually did see. It's chronicled on his laptop. It's been spread right around the world. Everybody knows that this is it's like he's a mob boss working under the big guy, of course. He's a pervert. He's a sexual deviant. He's a drug addict. Or he certainly was for a long period of his life. And then he writes about it. He celebrates the lifestyle in interviews. And then last night, even though the walls have closed in, he's the toast of the town. I mean, the DOJ let him off the hook. So let's move on. Everybody give him hugs and kisses. The Ezekiel End Time Prophet booklet says these elders are doing abominable things in the dark recesses of their private imaginations, harboring evil in their minds. They believe God doesn't see them, that he's forsaken the earth. We're not going to be punished. We're not going to be penalized. So let's just carry on with these abominations. Verse 13 says, he said also unto me, turn you yet again, and you shall see greater abominations that they do. Verse 14 says, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Happening right in God's house. We've seen it happen on the spiritual level. Total destruction of God's church, the Laodicean church. And now we're seeing it play out on the national level, on the physical level, Israel. We're seeing it happen in our nations. This is from the latest revelations, the DOJ. This was in Richard's news stack this morning, that they knew Hunter's laptop was legit. They knew it in November of 2019. That's the Bill Barr time period. They knew all about the crimes. They knew all about the abominations. They knew all about the prostitution rings, the drug addiction, the narcotics, all of those things, the emails, the pay-to-play scheme. They knew all about it. Now we have these latest revelations coming from the IRS. Two whistleblowers told Congress that IRS investigators recommended charging Hunter Biden with attempted tax evasion and other felonies, which are far more serious crimes than what the president's son has agreed to plead guilty to. See, the plea agreement, as we covered the other day, just a little slap on the wrist. And you had these IRS officials saying, look, there's felonies all over the place here. How does he get off scot-free? Says the IRS whistleblower said the recommendation called for Hunter Biden to be charged with tax evasion and filing a false tax return, both felonies, for 2014, 2018, and 2019. It's a pattern of behavior here. A pattern. The IRS also recommended that prosecutors charge him with failing to pay taxes on time, a misdemeanor, for 2015, 16, 17, 18, and 19. When he reached that plea deal the other day, I think there were just 2 years in question. It was just happening all through the teens of the 2000s. It says, it appears that this 11-count charging recommendation also had the backing of some Justice Department prosecutors, but not from major or not from more senior attorneys, according to the documents that the whistleblowers provided. See, the higher ups at the DOJ, the Merrick Garlands of the world, they said, no, we're going to, it's been an ongoing investigation for 5 years. We've had this evidence for years and years and years, but we'll reach the plea agreement at the appropriate time. You know, right when the heat is on the Biden family, then we'll reach an agreement and then we'll tell our regime media to go out there and say, you see, the Justice Department's fair. Yeah, we're going after Trump on the boxes, but look, we went after Hunter on the tax evasion. We reached a plea deal. He probably won't go to prison, but still. It says here the allegations come from Gary Shapley, a 14-year IRS veteran who oversaw parts of the Hunter Biden criminal probe. It says here Shapley approached Congress this year with information that he claimed showed political interference in the investigation. He and the entire IRS team were later removed from the probe. They were probing into this, finding all the crimes, and then the DOJ, Obama's weaponized DOJ, shows up and says, hey, get your team out of here. We're getting some new guys. Take the heat off the Biden crime. Listen, we'll handle the Bidens. That's the way Obama wanted it. Then you had the news yesterday of Hunter. He's on WhatsApp, evidently, years ago, threatening some Chinese guy, saying that my dad's right here in the room. You better pay up. He's like, it's like a shakedown on WhatsApp. And he gets away with these things. The plea deal, according to Hunter's attorney, everything's over. The investigation into all of these things, it's done. So the pay-to-play scheme, the bribery schemes, all of that, out the window. Yeah, they got away with it. This is clip 5 from Fox News yesterday.
Hundreds of pages of transcripts released within the last few hours. These were done by whistleblowers who worked at the IRS. They were IRS agents investigating the Hunter Biden tax probe. And that probe ended with that plea deal 2 days ago. But now these transcripts are being released and they have some interesting information. IRS Supervisory Special Agent Gary Shapley gave testimony for about 6 hours behind closed doors in May. He said the Department of Justice, where I am now, walked the investigation, slow walked the investigation, and made his job difficult. Now we're seeing what he said in his testimony, and it relates to now President Joe Biden. According to Shapley, Hunter Biden in 2017 sent a WhatsApp message to a Chinese businessman. I want to read this to you. It says, quote, we obtained a July 30th, 2017 WhatsApp message from Hunter Biden to Henry Zhao, where Hunter Biden wrote, quote, I am sitting here with my father and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. Tell the director that I would like to resolve this now before it gets out of hand. And now means tonight, end quote. Now, President Biden has repeatedly denied discussing any business deals with his son.
I'll just read to you the text in the WhatsApp app. He didn't read all of it, the Fox News guy there. I'm sitting here with my father. This is Hunter writing to a Chinese businessman. Sitting with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled. It says further on, and Z, if I get a call or text from anyone involved in this other than you, Zhang, or the chairman, I will make certain that between the man sitting next to me, that would be his father, and every person he knows, and my ability to forever hold a grudge, that you will regret not following my direction. It's like a mafia boss, basically. Pay up. How come you haven't fulfilled your commitment? I'm sitting next to the big guy. You better get on it. This is from Jonathan Turley. He's quoting what the Hunter attorney said the other day. Hunter is resolved. It's all taken care of. We got the plea deal. So everyone's satisfied. We're happy. He says those words yesterday from Hunter Biden's counsel, Chris Clark, were confident and certain. He declared the 5-year investigation effectively closed. For years, the political and media elite have struggled to resolve the disaster that is Hunter. Well, you look at that gala last evening, it doesn't look like the elites are struggling with anything regarding Hunter. They love the guy. He looks great in a tux. He's representing the Biden family. Says here, they have finally done so with a long predicted controlled demolition of the scandal by having the president's son plead guilty to a couple of minor tax violations without a serious threat of jail time. It says they even threw in a phantom felony allegation that will evaporate once Hunter completes a diversion program. That would be the gun charge. All the gun control freaks, not saying a word about this at all. It's fine for Hunter to go get a firearm and lie on the application that he's not addicted to narcotics. It says here, the diversion program is particularly insulting to the intelligence of American people. Hunter is reportedly no longer an addict, having attended treatment and taken up painting. It says, yet he will be treated like he is a junkie, picked up in a drug sweep, and everyone will pretend that this is about addiction rather than corruption. We've gotten quite good at pretending. Just pretend that he's righteous. Just pretend that he's obedient, that he obeys the laws of the land. Just pretend that he hasn't gotten caught up in all of these crime rings. It says here, no one can explain why it took 5 years for the investigation of two minor tax counts and a gun allegation that could have been confirmed in a month. We made this point earlier in the week. How did it take 5 years for these minor charges? They had all the information back in 2019. It says here, indeed, an IRS whistleblower alleged that Hunter was given preferential treatment and that the whistleblower's team was removed from further work on the case by the Justice Department. That would be the Shapley fellow. Says here, Hunter also never faced any charges after videotaping himself engaged in interstate violations involving a host of prostitutes and drugs. That is now simply material for his scrapbook. It says here, there's a glaring omission of any charge under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, despite the Justice Department using this charge freely against associates of former President Donald Trump, like Paul Manafort. Not going to get him on the Foreign Agents Registration charge. Not like they did Manafort. That's reserved for Trump's officials. It says here, if true, this is further on, the Justice Department succeeded in spending more than 5 years investigating Hunter while avoiding the two most significant allegations, influence peddling and working as an illegal foreign agent. I mean, in truth, this is the guy you saw at the gala in the tux. This is the one that should be going off to prison for hundreds of years. Instead, they're trying to get Donald Trump. They're trying to throw him into the slammer for 100 years because he moved some boxes. It says here, it was clearly a good day for Hunter and the Bidens. I think this is referring back to Tuesday or Wednesday of this week when he also reached the settlement with the woman that he impregnated some years ago. It says here, at the same time that he was given a pass by the Justice Department, Hunter cut a deal to reduce his child support for his daughter, Navy, while getting her mother to drop her request for the girl to actually be called a Biden. You just got to blot that little girl out. She doesn't count. She's not part of the Biden crime family. So he gets the alimony payments or the child support payments reduced, I think, to $5,000 a month. And he skates clean on all these other charges. And then shows up at a state dinner for Prime Minister Modi. And he, let me tell you, he is the toast of the town. As I said earlier in the show, you can see why the media, they need all of these shiny objects, all of these distractions, because there's a lot to distract you away from. It's just overwhelming. The corruption, the filth that you see running right through this family, on into the Clintons, on into the Obamas. It's all over the place. But the media are there to protect their overlords, to protect the communist regime. Speaking of distractions, look at what they do with Donald Trump. They need Donald Trump, in truth. They need him. He's the bad orange man. He's everything that's wrong with democracy. We keep getting lectures from Obama and others on democracy. And Donald Trump is the only threat to this republic, judging by what they say in the regime media. Listen to this short montage that we prepared, clip 7.
It's a little striking to me that he sounds very unsure of himself, and frankly, a little scared.
This is how Trump governs. It's totally about Donald Trump. He does not have a philosophy. He does not reason in policy terms the way it's normally understood. I don't think he's fit for office. I would not vote for Trump in 2024. I didn't vote for him in 2020. I did in 2016. By the time I left the White House, I was convinced he was not fit to be president. This is a question of somebody who didn't know much about the federal government when he entered the job, didn't know much more when he left, didn't care to know much, didn't appreciate the gravity of some of the issues he dealt with. I think it's a danger for the United States if he gets a second term.
And you saw him starting to unravel. I mean, I don't know what he's doing with his hair, but he's got to get a new hairstyle or something.
Really? Something has changed in his hair.
Oh, come on. He's like physically unraveling. Just take a look at him. Go back to the Bret Baier tape. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was probably using 6 cans of hairspray during the campaign. He's probably only using 1 now. He's got to straighten this out.
Wow, this is the meter that you're using.
Well, he's a very image-conscious guy. I mean, there's not enough hairspray going on that raccoon nest. You know, I mean, just being honest. So you can tell that he's unraveling.
I will do what I need to do to be up on that stage to try to save my party and save my country from going down the road of being led by 3-time loser Donald Trump. Loser, loser, loser.
Right, loser, loser, loser. And then the hairspray, you can tell everything you need to know about Trump. Just look at his hair. He's so dejected. He's a defeated man. And then I like how John Bolton says, you know, Trump doesn't know how the federal government works. People in America put him into office because they despise how the federal government works. That's the truth. That's the truth. And then they go on the talk shows and they tell you that Trump is the only thing wrong with the United States. And he's just minding his own business down in Mar-a-Lago. I mean, he moves a box once in a while, but he's a businessman. He's running his business. Perfect distraction, isn't it? Listen to this from, speaking of distractions, to take your eye off the ball, listen to Tommy Lahren. She's at Fox News, clip 10.
But I think this strategy here is incredibly transparent, right? Every time Joe is in hot water, they trot out Barack Obama because they know that he is beloved amongst the Democrat Party. So I would expect you're going to see a lot more from Obama, should he be willing to do it on Joe's behalf, to try to smooth things over with the Democrat base. That's what they do every time. I don't expect anything different this time.
Interesting comments about bringing Barack Obama out. And now that I think about it, it's true.
It is true. It is true. And I like how Lahren stressed, she stipulated, should he be willing to. So they trot out Obama because Obama's got to, you know, settle down the Democrat Party and remind everybody that, hey, the adults are leading the United States right now. We look at how we dress up into tuxedos. Look at how we can throw a gala, a celebration for India. Obama's out there. He's out there talking about democracy. He's out there talking about the Trump indictment. Listen to this from the interview he had with Christiane Amanpour. This is CNN. He's on CNN last night. By the way, she's there live setting up all the little segments with Obama. They, you know, not that Obama's never done a town hall, but just contrast it with Donald Trump, who shows up to CNN. And it's a town hall. He doesn't know what they're going to ask him. He didn't know how Caitlin Collins was going to attack him. It was all live. It was on the spot. But with Obama, certainly so with Biden, because he can hardly speak. So they have to carefully package every little soundbite. But even with Obama, it's edited. And she's setting up all of these clips. And Obama, I mean, he sounds the part. He would look nice in a tux as well, for sure. God says, look, come look and see what they do in the dark. How about that? This is Obama commenting on the Trump indictment, clip 1.
How is the rest of the world, the democratic world, maybe even the non-democratic world, meant to interpret that indictment and indeed the fact that a federal indictee is running, is able to run for the highest office in the land, maybe even the world?
It's less than ideal. But the fact that we have a former president who is having to answer to charges brought by prosecutors, does uphold the basic notion that nobody's above the law.
Says the guy that helped himself to 3 million documents when he left the White House. Unbelievable. These people, how rich for him to be talking about how that nobody's above the law. Even as all of these revelations, these stunning revelations come out regarding the Biden crime family. And he was president, as we keep saying. He was president when he knew Crossfire Hurricane was a setup. He ordered it. He wanted to know everything about it. And he made sure, with the help of Brennan and Comey and all those guys, Comey in particular, but he made sure that the harassment would continue, the attack on Donald Trump would continue on into Trump's presidency when he came into office in 2017. Listen to what the dear leader has to say about, actually, why don't we skip ahead to number three first, play three.
Having been president of the United States, you need a president who takes the oath of office seriously. You need a president who believes not just in the letter, but in the spirit of democracy. And the essential spirit of democracy is that as president of the United States, you are just one representative of the people in a series of co-equal branches. There are checks and balances to the system. You are subject to those checks and balances. You cannot ignore them. You cannot make your own rules. You cannot view the Justice Department as your personal law firm. You cannot ignore norms.
You can't ignore the checks and balances if you're in the office of president, says the guy that told Congress, if you hold me back, if I can't get my way through Congress, I'll go around you. I got a pen and a phone. I'll get around you somehow. This man shredded the constitutional norms. He shredded those checks and balances. And the regime media, Democrats, Republicans, all of them, as my father writes about in America Under Attack, they just step aside and let him do it. They swoon before him. They swoon. He can do no wrong. I mean, look at how polished he looks in that carefully edited clip. It's perfect. So much of this, as I said at the start, it just perfectly typifies everything that's wrong with our world. And by our world, I mean the devil's world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. We had that trumpet issue just a few months back. Fake. And now you have the emergence of artificial intelligence. I mean, we're just going to be bombarded with so much fakery and phoniness. Obama even commented on that in the interview last night. But of course, it's all within the context of the dangers of right-wing media. In particular, of course, the boogeyman, Fox News. This is clip two.
It wasn't that long ago that I got a lot of Republican votes. It wasn't that long ago where John McCain was the Republican nominee. But what is true is that partly because of where people are getting information these days, the siloing of information. If you are watching Fox News, I've said this before, if you're watching Fox News or following some right-wing radio host or getting Facebook feeds within that bubble, your reality is different than if you read the New York Times or watch your program. And when people are getting such fundamentally different facts, or what they think to be facts, and their worldviews are so skewed in a one direction or another, then it's very hard for democracy to work. But just this constant demonization of the other side, making people fearful of each other. And unfortunately, I think that's going to be a problem that gets even more pronounced with the advent of AI and deep fakes and all these challenges.
And we want
all through the interview, and it's much of the same of what he says everywhere he goes, but he's guilty of everything that he hurls out there in the form of accusations. I mean, he longs for the days of John McCain when he could crush McCain and McCain would just meekly step aside and not fight back. Same with Mitt Romney. They're all the same. And then one individual comes along and actually takes him on and fights back. And that's why he has to be destroyed. That's why he has to be destroyed. There's Christiane Amanpour. This is CNN. She's swooning there before the dear leader. That's what they've done for years. That's what they've done since 2008. He gave another interview. This guy's name is Hassan Minhaj. Notice how skillfully Obama pulls the misdirect here when this guy, this young reporter, just presses him on something simple like his recommended reading list that he puts out at the end of every year. The guy's asking him, so do you read your books? Do you read the books you recommend others read? This is clip 8.
Your team might be mad that I'm putting you on the spot like this, but I need you to look me in the eyes.
Yes.
And be honest with me.
Always.
Mr. President, when you do your end of the year lists,
yes,
do you really read all those books, watch all those shows, and listen to all those songs?
I do. Listen.
No, you don't.
I am so glad that I had this opportunity.
Please.
People, they believe the books and the movies, but the playlists, they somehow think, and this is mostly coming from young people like you.
Yeah.
Somehow y'all think you invented rock and roll. You invented hip hop. Okay. People seem to think, well, he must have had some 20-year-old intern who was figuring out, uh-huh, you know, this latest cut. No, man, it's on my iPad right now.
You have Life is Good by Sir featuring Scribbs Riley,
yes,
on your iPad?
Yes, I do. Come on, man. Don't play with me.
Okay.
Huh?
All right, let's cap it. Let's raise the rim a little bit. Give me the plot line for Afterlives by Abdul Razak Gurna.
Dude, how much time do we have here? Come on, man. Look, here's the bottom line, okay, of my playlist.
Uh-huh.
And my book list and my movie list.
Yeah.
I am very scrupulous about making sure that this is stuff that I actually like.
Yeah.
Yes, very scrupulous. Notice how he didn't really answer the question. Well, tell me the plot line of this book you recommended then. Hey, come on now. I like the music I recommend. That's Barack Obama. I mean, and there's another swooner. He went in for some facts, right? And then Obama just changes the subject and he plays along. I mean, he pressed a little bit, but you can't go all the way. You just can't. You can only do that with the other side. I noticed, by the way, that I think he's an MSNBC commentator. He tweeted out today that if someone wanted to take Sam Alito, he's the conservative judge on the Supreme Court. If someone wanted to take Sam Alito on a vacation, a $1 billion vacation, please make sure you put him on the submarine that's going down to see the Titanic. In other words, take him on a submarine where he'll die. That's fine. But if you're a Fox News producer and you put a banner underneath Biden speaking and call him a wannabe dictator, you're gone. Same day, you're gone. Same day. You can't even stay around for 2 weeks before you have to depart. It's really disgusting and sick. I think this was from not the one from yesterday, but the previous one to that. But he talked again, you have to judge by fruits. That's what Jesus taught us in Matthew 7. Look at the way they're living. God says in Ezekiel 8, as I read to you, look in the hole and see what they're doing in the dark. It's abominable what these people are getting away with. But then when the gala starts, distinguished people, how perfect was that as Hunter was working the room? Distinguished guests, please find your seats. We're about to begin the gala celebration. They sure look nice in tuxedos. All of them do. But look at what they're doing or getting away with in the dark. This is from our booklet, Character in Crisis. Let me read the Tucker quote first. I should have brought the clip, but it's, he said this last week. What was once considered admirable is now derided as stupid, if not racist. That would include achievement, intelligence, honesty, self-control, humility. Those are features of an old America. Those were yesterday's virtues. They're gone. In their place, all that we once considered contemptible and repulsive, we're told to worship that now. If it's contemptible, if it's repulsive, pull out that 600-page research manual on Hunter's crimes. And actually, it's something that you should indulge in too. And you really should be proud of. Look, he's made millions carrying out those crimes. So he's to be applauded, I guess. He's to be celebrated. How did Tucker put it? What was once considered contemptible and repulsive, we're told to worship that now. Just worship. In other words, will worship. Tucker didn't go that far, but that's Colossians 2. Just worship the will. Never mind what Obama's doing behind closed doors. Look how nice, look at how he can yuck it up with that young reporter and just change the subject if you have to actually talk about the plot line in the novel. Just change the subject, no problem. Our booklet, Character in Crisis, it's an old one. It's a classic, really, written back in 1999. Make sure you request that. Call the 800 number. Again, all of our literature, there's no cost, no obligation. You can see the number there, 1-866-930-3024. But here's a quote from Character in Crisis. It says, as far as human government goes, the United States started about as right as any government man has ever produced. Critics today can say what they will about why it started right, but the founding fathers all seem to be in perfect agreement on the issue. It says the country began in fertile ground because it was founded upon religion and morality. See all those things that Tucker said, you know, it used to be this way in America. The founders were all in agreement on this. It had to be grounded in religion and morality. It says here, these are the two fundamental building blocks upon which America was built. And this is why we see America collapsing, because the foundational building blocks are gone. They're gone. Look at Hunter at the gala. Hunter Biden, the toast of the town. George Washington, America's first president. He said, the foundations of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality. Private morality. What you do in the dark, I mean, it does make a difference. It does matter. Character is in crisis, has been for decades. But look at the filth on display today. Isaiah 3:9 says that we declare our sin as Sodom. We love it. We love it. Tucker said, what was once considered contemptible and repulsive, we're told to worship now. Worship it. This is what Washington had to say in his farewell address. It says here, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. See, he knew, he believed that character is everything. And it is. That's what your Bible teaches you. God says in Matthew 5 and verse 48, he says to become perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's what we're aiming for here. We all fall short of that for sure. But the devil is the god of this world. And he wants you to worship what is contemptible and repulsive. Just get behind the mob, go along with the mob. It's easier to just submit to the mob than to fight against it. To fight against it, I mean, you've got to have some courage. You've got to have some character. Most people aren't willing to do that. And that's why they step aside. This is a quote from America Under Attack. My father says, Paul reveals what happens when you worship the human will. It leads to worshiping demons. When you worship the human, and what kind of behavior and activity do you think the demons revel in? Well, look at the 600-page research into the Hunter laptop. They love it. They love it. Look at that club for the elites. Some kind of a sexual orgy perversion club. $75,000 a pop, I guess. The kinds of things happening in the dark. I mean, sometimes you want to just turn away from it and not even read the story about it. But in the case of Ezekiel 8, God said to the prophet, look, go back to that hole in the wall there, peer in, and look at what the elites are doing in the dark. Look at what they're getting away with. This says here, coming back to the America Under Attack quote, it says, following a human will really means following Satan's will. When human beings reject God's truth, they start worshiping their own opinions. They start thinking like the devil. That's from America Under Attack. You can get a free copy of it. No cost, no obligation. Just call our operators today. When we come back, we'll play the news of the work segment that we weren't able to get to yesterday. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily, coming to you live today from a little hotel room in Roanoke, Virginia. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
And welcome back to the show. We've got a News of the Work segment that goes for about 5 minutes. And we're going to save the feedback from the show last night in Roanoke. It'll be a great lead in to the show in Raleigh coming up on Monday night. So go to CelticThrone.com to secure your tickets for Monday's show if you're anywhere around the North Carolina region. So we'll finish today's show with the News of the Work segment and probably end just a little bit early, but that's okay because Sam and I have got to check out of our hotel rooms at the top of the hour. So we appreciate you joining us on today's show. Here's your News of the Work segment.
The Celtic Throne Tour would not be possible without the extensive support staff that travels with the troupe. Feeding the Celtic Throne cast and crew is a monumental task, taken on this year by Cole and Jennifer March and a whole team of assistants. Mr. March also doubles as the backstage manager during shows. There are about 60 cast and crew members.
As we travel from place to place, things change. You know, we order online and we have our groceries delivered to particular hotels. We've been allowing 2 hours of prep time pretty much for each meal, whether it's a lunch or a dinner. We're usually using anywhere from 5 to 6 ladies. And then we're also using some of the dancers or some of the crew. And again, sometimes that's twice in a day where we're feeding 60 plus people. It's a lot of organization, a lot of logistics. The food truck is what makes what we're doing possible, because we're not eating out of restaurants. We are eating fresh food that's been prepared. It's really been a game changer for this particular tour, having that truck where it's outfitted with dry storage, cold storage, refrigeration. We have a couple of grills that are on the truck so that we can pull them and cook the beef. We can cook chicken, we can cook fish. And we've done all of those things because we have the food truck.
A whole team of moms takes care of costumes, washes show laundry, and prepares promotional gear for the dancers.
Basically, with the costumes, we have ladies that work in different areas. So we have moms that work with the boys, we have moms that work with the girls, or the, we call them the littles, and then we have moms that work with the older girls or the ladies. We have ladies, men, and littles. Once we get to the theater, everybody gets there. I figure out which rooms are for doing hair and which rooms are for getting dressed. And so we have rooms for the musicians, we have rooms for the musician ladies. We separate from there. And then the moms that work in the ladies department, they set up all those costumes. We do all the ironing and the steaming and all that separated according to which area you're in.
The day before each show, sound manager Isaac Lorenz and lighting manager Ethan Hensley start preparing for the show.
Generally, when we show up to a theater, the progression is pretty standard. We show up, we spend the first probably half an hour unloading the trailer. That's all hands on deck. Once we get everything on stage, then my first goal is to work out how we're going to run fiber. We have projectors that are obviously powering the psych imagery that is shown throughout the show, and they need to get hung up on a batten and flown. We fly those out to about 30, 34 feet in the air, and then we focus on getting all the other sound stuff together. We then go to the soundboard in the front of house, and we load in our show file, and we start patching on the board all of those things in. And so once that's done, it's basically just a matter of stepping through all of the different scenes and settings on the board, making sure everything's accurate so that the show is good to go.
After we get everything unloaded, we start putting down the Marley floor, and I start setting up all of my lights. I have a lighting technician that I deal with directly, and then also there's a stage manager that I deal with directly. We're bringing about 22 different light fixtures with us that we set up on our own. Then we go through and we start focusing lights. So I have the lighting technician, and one guy goes up on a ladder or however they focus lights. We'll go through each individual light. Usually by the end of the first day, that's where we end up. And then the second day, if it's optimal, I start programming and I go through the show and make sure that all of the cues and stuff line up with my moving lights, and then the fog works, then we start the show.
Co-director Brad McDonald and the stage crew helpers also work on unpacking and setting up the stage. After the show, dancers and stage crew work together to pack up as quickly as possible. Every member of the Celtic Throne family has an important part to play in making this tremendous production possible. To get tickets to a Celtic Throne show near you, please visit CelticThrone.com.